one of the most important aspects of living the Christian life, and that is the importance of yielding to God. I should do a series sometime on those important things, like keeping short accounts with God, making sure there's no unforgiveness in your life, those sorts of things. This would be one of them, is yielding. Daily yielding ourselves unto the Lord, which is what this whole passage is about. We finished last week at verse 11, so we'll start there. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So our title tonight is simply yield. You saw the word show up over and over again. Let's pray. Lord, I ask now that as we contemplate this amazing truth, Lord, that we wouldn't just agree with it, but we would implement it into our Christian walk. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd guide us in your truth, and Lord, that you would work miracles in this service, and that we, Lord, would respond as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And give us a sweet prayer time later on as well while we pray one for another. We are grateful. Give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 13, Paul uses the word yield. Verse 16, he uses the word yield. And in verse 19, he uses the word yielded and yield. And that's really what the passage is about. What God is teaching us, and you're going to see this a lot in Romans, especially the second half, is that God wants us to live practically on a daily basis what's already true doctrinally in our lives. So we're already righteous. We're already justified. We're already holy. We're already sinless. But God wants us to live what we are, which is a justified Christian, a holy Christian. He wants our lives to be a reflection of what God's already accomplished doctrinally for our eternal destiny. And so he starts by reminding us in verse 11 that we are dead. And we've heard this many times before. But here he uses this word reckon. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. So what he's saying is, you are already dead. Your old man is already dead. It's already happened. The day you got saved, he was crucified. But now you need to reckon it to be so. In other words, you need to daily acknowledge that old man is dead. I need to quit listening to him. I need to quit allowing him to affect my life. We need to keep this perspective, this heavenly perspective, if you will, on this battle that we have with our flesh, which we saw, remember, earlier in the chapter. Remember, look up at verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, you think he's trying to get a point across? We're dead. The old man is dead. Now God wants us to reckon it to be so in our daily walk. In other words, he wants empty vessels, people that are dead to self, so that he can fill with himself and use us and live his life through us. That's what Paul meant when he said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. That when Christ was crucified, my old man was crucified. And Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's all through the New Testament that we're dead. Now, of course, that's referring to the old man, isn't it? The old man is dead. But the new man, verse 11, but alive unto God. So God says, you're dead, but you're alive. Now, the unsaved, they're just dead. Done. And if they don't get saved, they will remain dead for eternity. That's why it says in Revelation, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. They remain dead. You and I were born dead spiritually, but what God is saying is now, spiritually, we've been given life, but now the old man is crucified, and we need to reckon it to be so because we are alive, which remember he said in verse 4, at the end of the verse, walk in newness of life, which I quote when we do the baptisms. So we're dead, but we're alive. That's not meant to be a paradox. It's just a fact. Amen? The old man is dead. The new man's alive. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a, what? New creature. Amen? Now look at Ephesians 4. We'll look at some scriptures on this, but this is a very important truth for a Christian life. Is this reckoning, this yielding? We are, at any given time, we are yielding, and we'll talk more about this, either to God or to the old man. And that will determine our behavior. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man. Up in verse 22, what's it say? Put off the old man. So the old man's dead. God says, put it off. The new man is alive. God says, put it on. This is a daily thing. This isn't something that we do once. I should say it's hourly. That we have to reckon the old man to be dead, and we have to yield ourselves unto God, the new man, so that he can live through us. And so we see in Romans 6:12 this word reign, not as in coming out of the sky, but as in ruling. Notice it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. What God is saying is that even though we're born again Christians, if we won't yield to God, if we won't yield to the Holy Spirit who indwells us, but wants to control and fill us, that we will still be inclined to allow the old man to reign, which means control what happens in our life. Like he said up in verse 6, sorry, I was still in Ephesians, up in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. So that's what this is all about. It's who is reigning? Is it the old man or God? At any given time, one of those is reigning over our lives. And it's up to us to decide. When you see this word yield, what does that mean? It means to give way. It means to surrender. In old historical times, picture someone being conquered on the battlefield. and he falls on the ground, he yields. He might get his head cut off, but he's acknowledging that he lost. And he is yielding his life. He might die, but he's in his mind he's already dead because he lost. So he yields. And that's what God wants us to do, is yield. That's what he means when he talks in Romans 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give yourself to God. Yield. So we see the word reign in verse 12 and verse 13. We see this word yield. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. So he's saying, don't yield to sin. Don't yield to the old man. He repeats it down in verse 16 where he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. So he's saying, whoever you yield to, who's going to reign? You can yield to the old man and he will reign, or you can yield to God and he will reign. But the choice is up to us. It's not, when God moves in, he doesn't say, that's it, I'm taking over, you're a robot now. Sometimes we wish it was like that, but it's not. We still have our free will, and this decision is still ours. God says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, in Galatians 5:16. So, this word reign and word yield, they go together, verse 13. Don't yield to the sin, but what? Yield yourselves unto God. There's the key to the whole passage. Yield yourselves unto God. Now, remember up in verse 12 that we were told, or sorry, 11, we were told to reckon ourselves to be dead. In other words, every day, I'm dead. The old man's dead. He's crucified. Now he says here in verse 13, as those that are alive from the dead. So he says, you need to reckon yourself to be alive through God, which we are. We have eternal life. We've been given a new life. So this yielding thing and the reigning thing is so important in the Christian life. Jesus uses the word abide in John 15. Let's turn over there. But it means the same thing. It means to surrender. That song that we sing, I surrender all. That's what God wants every day. We can't be a living sacrifice if we haven't surrendered all. We can't be a living sacrifice if we're not yielding ourselves. So notice John 15, verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So now we have the word reign, we have the word yield, and we have the word abide. These are very important words. And like I said, Romans 12:1, sacrifice, living sacrifice. And then verse 14, we have this word dominion. Dominion goes with reign, right? When a king reigns, he has dominion over his kingdom. When we yield ourselves to the old man, we're giving him dominion of our lives. We're letting him run our lives. And how many Christians do that? Sadly. That the old man is running their lives and he's dead. And they're letting a dead guy run their lives. How sad. But he says, sin shall not have dominion. He says, it shouldn't happen. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? And then he asks another rhetorical question. Remember at the beginning? He'd asked it up in chapter 6, verse 1. The eternal security question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now he asks another rhetorical question. What then? Verse 15. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Both times he says, God forbid. Because we've been freed from the bondage of the law, because we've been given liberty in Christ, should we therefore sin? Of course not. And then he says in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, we choose. We choose who we are to yield to. We can yield to the old man, we can yield to sin, or we can yield to God. And notice he says in verse 17, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. So he helps define that word yield there, doesn't he? Who we're serving. Are we serving the old man? Are we serving sin? Or are we serving God? And again, he's made it very clear, verse 16, that the choice is up to us. Now he steps from the practical back into the doctrinal, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, which of course is the gospel. You've obeyed the gospel. And when you did that, of course, you were made a new creature. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So on a doctrinal level, we've been made a new person, we've been given a new heart, a new life. And forever with Jesus, we're going to serve righteousness. But between now and then, we still can choose to serve sin, to serve the old man. That's up to us. And then he finishes in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. What does he mean by that? We'll find out when we get to chapter 7, where Paul opens up and is honest about his own battle with his own flesh. And we all have a battle with the flesh. It's a daily battle. The old man constantly says, forget God and serve me, doesn't he? Serve sin, don't forgive, don't pray, don't read your Bible, don't go to church, just please the flesh. That's what he says all the time. Oh, you're too tired to pray. You're too tired to read the Bible. You're too old to memorize Scripture. The old man got a lot of things to say. Sadly, they're all wrong. So I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded, there is that word again, your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now, this is a command, by the way. It's not an option. It's not an idea or a suggestion. It is a command that we what? Yield our members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, hopefully we can allow some of these key words to sink into our hearts. Words like reign, and dominion, and yield, and sacrifice. God wants us to say, oh, and reckon. Reckon's a big word too. God wants us to say every day, the old man's dead. And I reckon it to be so. He's dead. And the next time he tries to talk to me, I'm going to say, you're dead. Not listening. Now, I'm not saying we should literally say that, but if you have to, go for it. And I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to allow him to rule my life. I'm going to yield myself to God who indwells me so that he can reign over my life. And in a practical sense, that's what God's talking about when we get over to chapter 8. Let's turn over there. Probably the greatest chapter in Romans is chapter 8, where he says, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led. How can the Spirit of God lead us? Well, we have to yield, don't we? Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit wants to lead us. He wants to control us. Like Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But he doesn't get out a big stick and hit us over the head and force us to. We get to make that final decision as to who we daily yield to. The man that's already dead, that we need to reckon to be dead, or the one who is already the King of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield, he says. Yield yourselves unto God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful practical truth from your word. And I pray it'll get a hold of our hearts. We'll stop listening to the old man. We'll reckon him to be dead. And Lord, we will daily, even hourly, yield ourselves unto you that you might rule our lives and accomplish what you want to accomplish through us. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you.